whatever they did to the sound made it a whole lot better. A whole lot better. So praise the Lord for that. And we'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words. And Father, we pray that we would just have a humble heart as we go through them, and a humble mind, Lord, and that we would just believe what they say. And if we can find something to put in action in our lives, we pray that we would you would show us that, and that you that we would better walk with thee. And we pray these things for Christ's sake. Amen. Okay, we're in verse 17. You've got last week we saw some things about Judas and saw some different things about him, about his character, about who he was, and he's a man, and Jesus also made reference that one of the disciples was a devil. So we saw where Satan had entered into him, and looks like that's where his devil, his devil start began, is where Satan entered into him. But he was a man. Verse 17, the Bible says, "Now the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, Go into the city to such a man, and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house." Now, this Feast of Unleavened Bread, again, it was a seven-day feast. However, in reality, it starts on Passover, which seems to add a day, okay, from 7 days to 8 days, as the Jews are not to eat leavened bread on the Passover with the lamb, with the Passover lamb. If you go to Leviticus 23:5 and Exodus 12:6, you'll see that they're not to eat it with the Passover, eat leaven with the Passover, and when it starts. The Passover in the Old Testament was a feast for the Lord. It was for the Lord. It's called the Lord's Passover, and it had like a separation there when it talked about that in the Old Testament. It seems like in the New Testament, it's added together, okay? And I mean, it's very clear in Leviticus 23. We'll just go look at that. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus 23:5. The Bible says, in the 14th day of the first month, at even is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Okay, so, and that feast was to go 7 days, and if you add the Passover day, it's eight, right? So, okay, so we kind of understand that. It is a little confusing to me, even when I read it again. Because, I mean, in the New Testament, it's referenced as the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is also called the Passover. That's what it looks like. But what it looks like here is that Jesus is going to die on Wednesday. That's what it looks like. It's Wednesday afternoon, I believe it is. And the Passover was to be eaten by the morning, or it was to be burned. Okay, but it looks like here Jesus is going to die on a Wednesday. If I'm kind of off there, just let me know. It is confusing when you start. When we think of days, we think of morning and evening as a day, but when God speaks of it, it's evening and the morning is the first day. So it's a little confusing. But God is not the author of confusion. If it's confusing, it's because I have confused it. Right? God didn't confuse anything. I am the one that confuses it. But anyway. But go with me, if you would, to Luke 22. And you're going to see here the details that the Lord He gives you details in Luke that he doesn't give you in Matthew about what these disciples were to find when they went and looked for this man. Luke 22, the Bible says in Luke 22:7, the Bible says, "Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, 'Go and prepare us the Passover that we may eat.' And they said unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we prepare?' And he said unto them, 'Behold, when ye are entered into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house where he entereth in. And ye shall say unto the good men of the house, The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready.' And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover." But if you look at all these details that Jesus gives his disciples here, that's amazing. I mean, here Jesus is exercising his deity. Just can you imagine here what these disciples were thinking when they found all these things? Can you just imagine that? Somebody told you today, "Hey, go over there and prepare something for me, and this is what you're going to find. This, 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 and this." And you went there and found it? That would be something to think about. And so, but everything Jesus says comes to pass. And what does he do? What does he do to these two Jews? He gives them a sign. And those are the signs that followed what Jesus said. And these disciples, they knew that, hey, these things came to pass. This is where we're going to eat the Passover. And that's where they were supposed to do it. And because of the signs followed what Jesus said, it confirmed what he said, that was true. But the Jews require a sign. They require a sign. Or they don't know what is true or what is false. They're looking for that sign constantly. And the Gentiles seek after knowledge. But go with me, if you would, to Matthew 26:18. And Jesus says, his time is at hand. Matthew 26:18. And he said, "Go into the city to such a man and say unto him, The master saith, My time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples." But here, Jesus knows exactly when he's going to die. And look, if you would, in John 2:4. He knows exactly when he's going to die. He's God. Jesus 2:4, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto her, "Woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come." Okay? And so, this time, my time is not at hand, or my time is at hand, is the same as my hour is not yet come. It's reference, my time is a reference to hour, my hour. Okay? John 7, verse 30. Here's, they're trying to kill Jesus, and they sought to take him, but no man laying hands on him because his hour was not yet come. There's another instance where this hour, it's reference to Jesus, it's reference to his time. My time is at hand. John 12:27. John 12:27. "Now is my soul troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour, for this cause came I unto this hour." Okay? So when Jesus Christ is referring to his time, it's referenced in John as his hour. Okay? Look, if you would, in 13:1. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come," there it is, in reference, in corresponding to the Matthew passage. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, He loved them unto the end, unto the end. And that was the end of his life on this earth, okay? But in John, we see that this hour is referenced to as to his crucifixion. But it's also referenced as his time in Matthew that we just read. Christ's hour, it's not just 60 minutes, folks. You see, you hear that show on TV, 60 minutes? This is not referring to just 60 minutes of time, okay? Just as Daniel's 70th week is not referring to seven actual days, okay? There's a lot more to it than that. There's a lot more involved than just 60 minutes of time. And so what it appears to be is that his time or his hour is referring to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it appears that it's talking about. Look, if you would, in John 17. We'll read it. John 17:1. The Bible says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come. Watch. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." And we're going to see, when is he glorified? It's when he raises from the dead. "And so, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him." You don't get eternal life until Christ comes back up, right? Okay, so, "And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was." Well, when does this happen? After he raises from the dead, right? "I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee. And they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them." When does Jesus Christ get glorified? In a person, right? "And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father. Keep through thine own name those who thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one." Okay? So Christ, he dies, he was buried, and he rose again. And that is a reference to his hour, or his time, okay? So there's more than just 60 minutes there. There's a few days there. It looks like there's the 3 days of the crucifixion, plus another, then he goes up, and then he comes back down. Okay, but he goes up right after he comes out of the grave, and he goes up to his Father, and he's glorified with the Father. Okay, so death, burial, and resurrection. That is the reference to Jesus Christ's hour. But most of the expressions people use today, they come right out of the Bible. They do. They're quoting it, and they don't even know they're quoting it. It's my time to go, right? It's my time to leave this earth. But they use these things. But these verses here, they show that Jesus, he doesn't have his own home. He doesn't have his own home. The Bible says in other places, look if you would in Matthew 8:20. He doesn't have a home. Matthew 8:20. He's going to a place to eat the Passover. He doesn't have a place to eat. He's going to eat somewhere else because he doesn't have a place to prepare a dinner. The Bible says, I don't even know why this is here, Matthew 8:20. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. I don't even know why I put that there, but it's there. And it shows, folks, this Jesus Christ, at least during his ministry, that is, after he left his parents' house, he didn't live in a house. He didn't live in a house. Why? Jesus cared for the eternal things. He didn't care for the temporal things. He knew it was going to come a point in his life where he was going to go to the cross and die and leave this earth. And he didn't put stock in real estate. And he didn't put stock in earthly things. He put his life on the line for all of us. And that's a wonderful thing that he just did. That he did and when he came to this earth. Matthew chapter 26, verse 19. Verse 19, the Bible says, and the disciples did as Jesus has appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now when the evening was come, he sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. Now it doesn't look like they're eating the Passover here. It looks like that's another day. Looks like this is Tuesday. This is just the supper here, okay? Does that make sense? Or am I reading something wrong here? Okay, but anyway, it's a question. But the Bible says, and as they did eat, he said, verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. That one of you shall betray me. Now, that had to be something, folks. It had to be something. Yes? I kind of get that messed up because it almost seems like Jesus dies on Passover Day. That's what it seems like. If I'm wrong there, you know, somebody say something. But it looks like he dies on Passover. He is the Passover Lamb, right? So it looks like he's dying on Wednesday. Yeah. And this would be Tuesday. That's what it looks. Now, I could be wrong there. It's like I said, it's hard for me to figure this stuff out. But that's what it looks like. This is just a supper before the Passover. Okay? Imagine if you would. You're sitting down and you're eating a supper with somebody, and all of a sudden he says, hey, somebody says to you, hey, when are you going to betray me? You know, I thought we were friends, Jesus. You know, I thought we were friends. Why are you going to say something like that? But he says this. Jesus says, hey, one of you is going to betray me. And the Bible says, and they were exceeding sorrowful and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Now, look at this response. Lord, is it I? Now look at what the Bible says here, and that is, the Bible says every one of them said to Jesus, but did they? It says everyone said, Lord, is it I? But did they? That's the question you have to ask. Did they really say this? Because you read down in a few more verses, and you see that Jesus, or that Judas, he didn't say Lord. He said Master. Okay, and you're going to find another spot where John doesn't even say this. He asks a question, a different type of a question. He says, who is it? But basically, by saying that, who is it? He's saying, hey, is it me? Right? If you don't know who it is, it could be you. But what it looks like here is that this... when Jesus says, or when the Bible references that, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? Okay, so began. Okay, here's one disciple comes up and says, Lord, is it I? Here's another one, Lord, is it I? Here's, you know, and so the began looks like it didn't end there. You see what I'm saying? And so it looks like this, it could be a general statement referring to most of his disciples. It should be just a general statement, okay? And but what it looks like to me is that not all of his disciples said the exact same thing. Maybe a lot of them did, but in two cases, we're told that hey, Judas, he didn't say Lord, he said Master. And in John, you're going to see that, let me see. John 13. I'm getting a little ahead of myself here. That's okay. Time's running out. John 13. Is it 13? Mm-hmm. 25. Oh, yeah, here's John. Simon Peter, therefore, beckoned to him that he should ask who. This was the one whom Jesus loved. We all know who that is. It's John. Verse 25, he then lying on Jesus' breast said unto him, Lord, who is it? Who is it? And so it looks like this is just a general statement that somebody could say, hey, everybody said this, but not everybody said the exact same thing. It's just a general statement for a majority of the disciples that were there, okay? That's what it looks like. And skeptics will find fault there and say, ooh, contradiction, right? But is it? Come on. We got to use our heads here. The Lord hasn't, we haven't found one of them there yet. We're not going to find one here. The Lord always has an answer for man's stupidity. My wife doesn't like that word, stupidity. If I say stupid, oh man. But when she says it, she says, S. She doesn't say the whole word, she just says the one letter. When I do something stupid, she goes, S. But she doesn't like that word. But you know what? When men are stupid, they find fault with God. That's stupidity, folks. That's stupidity. Because God is not, he's a lot smarter than any of us. And he'll always be smarter than any of us on the face of this planet. But the only one that knows what's going to happen, folks, is Jesus. None of them knew that they were going to betray Jesus. They didn't think they were going to do it. Now, Judas, he had already left and started talking and made a covenant with the Pharisees. But he hadn't betrayed him yet. He saw an opportunity to betray him, but he hadn't done it yet. Okay, so he doesn't know that he's going to betray him. I don't believe that he does. Because why would they ask these questions? If you knew, maybe he did know. Or the other side of that argument, maybe he did know and he wanted to see if Jesus really did know. Right? So it could go either way. I don't believe he knew. But the only one that really knows what's for sure going to happen in the future about somebody else, especially at this time, is Jesus. He's the only one. The disciples didn't have that capability, and neither do you and I. We don't know what, I don't know what Brother John's going to do tomorrow. I don't know what Sister Barwell's going to do tomorrow. I'm just putting this out there. I'm not singling anybody out or not, but I don't know. And nobody knows what I'm going to do tomorrow. Right? So, it's just, we don't have that capability, folks. But Jesus does. He does. And look at what Judas says to Jesus, Matthew 26, 1. Master, is it I? In fact, there's not even recorded in the Bible that Judas ever said Lord to Jesus. There's nowhere. Why would he say it now? Okay? Was Jesus Judas's Lord? No, he wasn't. Because he betrays them. He says the exact same thing with the Pharisees, Master, Master, right? Never refers to him as Lord. And it's not recorded that way. Look, if you would, in Mark 14:44. Here's one Master. Mark 14:44. The Bible says, And he that betrayed him, and had given them a token, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same as he, take him, and lead him away safely. And as soon as he was come, he goeth straightway to him, and saith, Master, Master, and kissed him. This is Judas. Never says Lord. Again, John 13, verse 13. Here's Jesus. He's talking about when he's getting ready to wash the disciples. He says in verse 13, Ye call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If then your Lord and Master have washed your feet, ye also ought to wash one another's feet. And so here he is referencing to Judas, because Judas never called him Lord. His other disciples did, but Judas called him Master. And so Jesus wanted to make sure that that was in there, okay, so that we would understand that, hey, there's a big difference between Master and Lord. There's a big difference there. And so, but it looks like this is a general statement where these disciples, or Matthew records it, they say, Lord, is it I? Okay, let me keep going because I went ahead of myself. Okay, so it looks like 10 disciples ask, Who is I? One asks, Who is it? Lord, who is it? And one asks, Master, is it I? So there's 10 disciples that asked, Lord, is it I? And two that didn't. Okay? And that's why I just say it's a general statement. It might not be, but that's what it looks like. Notice what Jesus says here in Matthew. He gives an answer. He gives a clue. He gives one clue as to who this person is going to be. Okay? And notice, it's not something that this guy did wrong. He's not looking to find out who's the greatest. He's not getting any arguments with his other disciples. He's not sowing discord amongst the brethren. He's eating with Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And so here's this Judas. How can a guy go 3 and a half years with his other disciples and nobody know who it is? Nobody knows. And they, well, he was a devil and he walked with Jesus for 3 years as a devil. Really? Why does a devil have to enter into another devil? That's my question. Does it have to do that? See, Judas, he did everything right. He did everything right. He was an upstanding person. I mean, he cared for the poor, so he said. It came out of his mouth that way. We know he didn't, but it came out that way. Okay? He held the money in the congregation. Nobody would have thought. That's the last person you think. The guy that holds the money is the last person you think that's going to do anything wrong. Why? Because everybody trusts him. Who's going to trust somebody with money? Somebody that's trustworthy. You're going to trust somebody that's trustworthy, right? And so that goes to show you that people can look right. They can look like they're saved, folks. They can come to church every week. They can look like they're saved. They can say all the right things. Hey, there's unsaved people that don't swear out there. And there's unsaved people out there that are very religious. And you would never know. You would never know. But people that follow Jesus can follow Jesus and you not know that they're not saved. All right? And we just don't know, folks. We don't know. There's a lot of saved people that don't know they're not saved. Right? He doesn't know he's going to betray Jesus. I don't believe he does. There's a lot of saved people out there that don't think they're going to be betrayed. Yes? Or unsaved. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. But here, Judas has already made a covenant with the Pharisees in Matthew 26:14. And Satan had entered into him to make this covenant. Satan enters him twice. That's what it looks like to me. Luke 22, verse 3. Because they had dinner at one guy's house, and now they're in another person's, somewhere else eating supper. So here we go. Luke 22. Luke 22, verse 3. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called Passover, and the chief priests and scribes saw how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of 12, and he went his way and communed with the chief priests. When did he do that? After he was rebuked in this Simon Peter's house? Or not Simon Peter's house. Simon's house. Yeah, Simon the Pharisee's house. And then he went and he made this agreement with the, communed with them, made a covenant with them for 30 pieces of silver. And then he's here eating the Last Supper with Jesus Christ. And after this supper, he goes out to betray him. And watch, if you would, John 13, 27, Satan enters him again. Now, if Satan stayed in him, why does he have to come back in him? You see what I'm saying? Look, if you would, John 13, 27. John 13, 27. The Bible says, and after the sop, this is the Last Supper here, after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Okay? So there's two times that the devil is entering, or Satan is entering into Judas here. And so there is a possibility that Judas may not have known that he was going to betray Jesus. If Satan has to enter him to betray Jesus, then when he's sitting there at the table and Satan's not in him, he could honestly say, I don't, you know, who is it? Is it Master? Is it I? See what I'm saying? When a devil comes in a person, you do things that you normally don't do. When people that drink, which is called spirits, get spirits in them, they do things they normally wouldn't do. They say things they normally wouldn't say, folks. Same thing works in the spirit world. Alcohol does the same thing that a spirit will do. It gets you to do things that you normally wouldn't do or say. And so Judas can honestly say, Master, is it I here? At this time, think about it, folks. When Jesus says, the person that puts his hand and dips his hand in the dish with my hand, right? In Matthew. Think about it. He probably said that at the exact time that Judas had his hand in there. And all the other disciples had their hands in there probably with Jesus at one time or another. But the moment he says that, Judas is probably right in there with him. And can you imagine what he was thinking? How could this be? That's why he asked him later, Master, is it I? And Jesus says, Thou hast said. And let's see what it says exactly, because I might have messed that up. The Bible says, the Son of Man goeth, it is written of him, but blood shall betray me. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, Master, is it I? He said unto him, Thou hast said. And we'll go ahead and stop there, and then we'll get into this. The Son of Man goeth as it was written him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. We'll get into that next week. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for your words, and we pray, Lord, that you would just bless the service today. For Christ's sake, amen.